bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Adele Ferguson, award-winning journalist, an incredibly competent, intelligent, prolific journalist. This is Adele is what, if you want to know what journalism is, don't look up in the dictionary. Read what Adele writes.
Or if you do look it up in the dictionary, there's a picture of Adele anyway.
There's
so
a picture,
good.
Of, picture of Adele. So.
Adele, it's Robert Doyle here. I was at the Quills a couple of years ago when you won the Golden Quill for your story about the financial services sector, and then you backed up the next year. So I can't wait to see what happens, you know, for the trifecta.
Oh, thank you. We can only hope.
They're very close, aren't they, the Quills?
No, I don't think they are.
The last Quills, the Quills was in April.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Walkleys we're waiting on, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Now, Adele writes for Fairfax, Sydney Morning Herald, Fin Review, The Age, and we wouldn't know. We wouldn't have heard about the outrageous wage fraud at 7-Eleven, the Coles Enterprise Bargaining Agreement, McDonald's, United Petroleum, Commonwealth Bank financial planners. None of us would know about this, and dare I say, the ACCC, who are such a diligent group of public servants, you know, they work so hard. You know, it's only when they're served something up in lots of files that they can actually do something. Adele is the person we have to thank for this. So let's start off with 7-Eleven, Adele. Where is that, I won't call it a movable feast, where is that at currently?
It's an interesting one. They had the 12-month anniversary last week for the big expose on wage fraud. They've paid $26 million back so far, but there's still, you know, tens of millions to go. And it's been a rocky ride. So when they were first outed, they appointed Alan Fells to a compensation panel so that he could review past cases. He thought there would be at least 20,000. And he was doing a really good job, and then they sacked him because they realised that the bill was just mounting and mounting. So he got sacked, unceremoniously dumped a couple of months ago, and they set up their own internal panel. And since then, there has been some controversy about that. They actually put out an ad in the newspaper on Monday in The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald talking about inaccuracies that they thought were in the paper at the weekend. And it got shot down in flames because there weren't any inaccuracies. And Alan Fells came out and said one of the statements that they made in this advertisement was incorrect. It was saying that they were a lot quicker at processing claims than the Fells panel. And then Maurice Blackburn came out and said, no, there's more errors in the ad. They're saying that the new panel is more efficient and processing claims. We have 71 clients, and we're finding that we keep getting paperwork sent back. And this is a law firm, so can you imagine if you don't have a lawyer, how hard it would be?
Adele,
it blew up in their face.
Is there a sense of 7-Eleven perhaps getting away with this because some of the people affected have left Australia and have gone back to the nations from whence they came? Is that part of their thinking by this sort of constant delaying tactic, or are they just really as inept as they appear to be?
I think one of the problems, it's quite complicated because when they announced the compensation scheme, I think they didn't think many people would apply for it because a lot of them are on visas and they're afraid to come forward. They ended up getting thousands of people coming forward, and the original deal was that they'd pay the first $25 million, and then after that they'd split it with the franchisees. Well, the franchisees were up in arms about that because they were saying that the model was such that the profit share scheme was forcing them into this wage fraud. And now it's tipped over $26 million. when is 7-Eleven going to start tapping on the door of the franchisee saying, you've now got to pay us this much back?
But Adele, it's Robert again. It's not a great argument from the franchisees to say that the structure forced them into wage fraud. I mean, you know.
No, I agree. I totally agree. The whole thing is a complete mess because you've got, you know, head office at the top. They had an unfair model. And then that unfair model was used to exploit vulnerable workers.
And that's the part that sticks in my throat. The cynic in me says that these schemes are engineered because you know the profile of your workforce, and in this case yes. It's an extremely vulnerable workforce. So it's hard not to think that that was factored in from the very beginning.
I think you're absolutely right, because you have a look and it's all foreign. All the franchisees are from overseas countries and they don't know the workplace law. 7-Eleven says that they told them about it, but some of them can't even speak the language properly. And then they're hiring people from their own nations and realising that, you know, threatening them that they will be deported if they put up their hands and ask for money. And so now what you've got is a new scheme. It's called the cashback scheme. So previously what they were doing, they were, you know, blatantly underpaying workers. Now they're doing a cashback where they're paying them the proper wage, but saying, you know, let's go to the ATM and give me half of it back.
Which is another form of exploitation and corruption, and it's quite alarming. Another story this week that has broken is the story around United Petroleum, a very similar situation where a vulnerable workforce is being exploited.
That's exactly it. It's very much the same thing. You know, you have these, and it's so many of these franchise networks where you have head office that's calling the shops. And then they're selling these franchise stores to people who are then using it to underpay workers. And it's the tip of the iceberg, you know, United Petroleum, 7-Eleven. I've had emails saying, check out Baker's Delight, check out Domino's, check out Porto's. It's just... The list goes on.
Well, Adele, could I ask you, is there, I mean, if you go back to the financial services, that was a kind of franchise organisation where the banks outsourced, you know, some of their financial services to people who didn't really see themselves as part of the bank. But does that tell us that we actually need, and I'm not one to argue for greater administration, but is there a specific regulator that can look at the franchise industry? Is that where we are? Because they're labyrinthine structures, and yet across the different types of franchises, there seem to be similar difficulties and pitfalls. Is it time that we had a specific regulator for this particular industry?
It's actually not a bad idea, to be honest, or at least have a Senate inquiry, because the franchise sector is $170 billion. So it's huge. And you think about all those small businesses, and you've got these franchisors who basically... You know, in terms of Pizza Hut, they can say, okay, you're going to start selling pizzas at $4.95 or at Domino's, and the franchisees have to do it.
And that's something that, you know, where you might need to look at a whole industry to say, what are the game plans, the rules that everyone has to play by so that it's transparent and enforceable?
Because that's exactly right. So we do, you're absolutely right. We need to really scrutinise the whole franchise structure.
Now, your most recent story, Adele, is related to the Commonwealth Bank and a 97-year-old customer?
Yes, that's exactly it. This is such an egregious case because she's not just any customer. She's 97, and she was actually used as the test case over the story that I originally did on Commonwealth Bank was a big financial planning scandal in 2013, and the star planner was a guy called Don Nguyen, and his nickname in the bank was Dodgy Don. And Jeff Morris had come forward and said there's so much going on with this guy who's putting old people into dodgy products or Commonwealth Bank products that are high commission paying and high fee paying. He ended up getting banned by ASIC, and the corporate regulator used this woman's case to ban him. He then appealed the banning order, and the AAT, the appeals tribunal, said no, keep the banning order. So in other words, all the paperwork is available. She ended up getting $400,000 in that. He'd blown up $600,000 of her retirement savings. CommBank ended up giving her back $400,000, not the full $600,000. She now has applied 18 months ago to get the rest of her money back when they dodged a Royal Commission, which was what a Senate inquiry had recommended into the bank because of this behaviour of theirs. And this compensation scheme has been taking so long, and here's the example of, here's this woman who you would think would be at the top of the tree in terms of, you know, getting looked after. She's been waiting 18 months, and she's still waiting.
She must be a pretty remarkable 97-year-old.
Yeah, good on her.
It's, yeah, exactly. I think I'll buy her a tennis racket for her next birthday because she's obviously still out and about.
It's amazing, isn't it? You know, who would think that she's actually managed to survive all of this? And she's still waiting for not even for compensation for the suffering she's gone through. This is just to put her back to
where she was when she started.
Good on her.
And it's the moral corruption that is as disturbing as the financial deceit, that people think it's okay or will try and get away with. Stiffing older Australia.
But it's not just the individuals who are behaving badly. It's a whole culture that allows that. Mm. When the Defence Force were going through all their problems with sexual harassment and sexual misbehaviour, David Morrison, the then Chief of Army, said, the behaviour you walk past is the behaviour that you condone. And so it put the onus on people not just to say, well, I'm clean, but dodgy Don over there is
to
doing
call
the wrong
it out.
Thing.
Yeah, call you, it
yeah.
out. Yes.
And I think that cultures have got to do that. I mean, you know, I can tell you from being chairman of the Royal Melbourne, it's the culture that we've got to have in, you know, an organisation that's dealing with people at their most vulnerable. You've got to be able to call people
that's
out.
Right. The problem with Dodgy Don is he was called out. He was put on leave for 6 weeks, and when he came back, he was promoted.
Good heavens!
Which shows that there is bigger cultural issues in the organisation as well. And Adele, I think we're all particularly grateful that you're continuing your tenacity in your pursuit of these stories, continues to alert us, A, to them, and B, starts to perhaps see some results for those people who most need it. So we applaud you for your work.
It's and Fairfax.
And Fairfax for giving you the space to do what you do so well.
Oh, Adele's knocked Richard Baker and Nick McKenzie off their perch, and I bet they're really cross with you, Adele. That's the mantle they like for themselves, isn't it?
No, they're doing a fantastic job.
They are. Yeah, they're both remarkable.
There's plenty of room on the perch, Robert.
Indeed, there
not
is.
Not with you and me on it, Matt.
we'll
and Pete Dillon, don't you laugh. You're not in the slim company either.
It is 19 minutes to 11 here on Joy 94.9. Adele Ferguson has been our guest. Adele, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.